The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
And welcome to another episode of We're Done Here. Make sure to like us across all your streaming platforms and to find us on Instagram at We're Done Here Pod. This week, we're here with our amazing guest, Oscar Aiden.
Oh my God, I feel like she says that for every guest, and I'm just like another amazing guest.
I mean, they're not always amazing every week, Oscar. You're special. No, sorry, other guests.
That's how we do it.
So Oscar's a New York City-based comedian. Wait, Oscar, where are you from originally?
Chicago.
I didn't know that. Okay, Interesting.
Yeah.
So tell the guests a little bit about yourself. You're always at the Stand. You're always at New York Comedy Club. Oscar's everywhere, performing around the city, performing around the country, from Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually started... I started in New York City. I didn't start in Chicago.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, as a homosexual, you kind of just start your comedy journey, you know, when you come out of the closet, because it's always just a barrel of laughs.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And then, but I moved to New York City. I've been here for a while. And then I dabbled in comedy in like 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. I was hosting a monthly show at Stonewall. I was doing some open mics. And then, unfortunately, gay volleyball took over.
Oh, that's a I used to be in the gay volleyball league.
You did?
Yeah, I was at kickball though.
Oh yeah, well that's not gay volleyball.
Oh wait,
but yeah, that's kickball.
But I don't know. There was a ball and there were gay guys. I just was there for the drinking.
Is there never one? Is there never an instance where there isn't a ball where there's gays?
But they had a volleyball league in the league. Okay, yeah, go on. But
so I played gay volleyball for a long time, and then the pandemic happened, and I was like, well, let me just start this bitch up. You know, let me try comedy. And then I kind of just really enjoyed it, and then just have been hustling ever since.
Oh my God, I had no idea you were like starting in the pandemic.
Yeah, I was a pandemic comic.
I mean, I'm a pandemic comic.
Yeah.
We're like a weird class of pandemic comics. Okay,
but
cool.
But we're doing it though.
I know, we outside.
We outside, we are doing it. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm pretty sure that I did a show on top of a meth lab during the pandemic. So I feel like if I can survive that, I can survive four people at a bar show.
I mean, the crackheads in the park alone, I feel like as soon as we got let back in the clubs, I'm like, oh, this is easy.
Oh yeah, but you know what though, that toughens you up.
It did, because I wasn't used to hearing laughs,
right?
So I didn't even know, like, when I first got put back in the clubs, like, I didn't even know. I was like, oh, people are laughing, like, yeah. I was shocked that I was like, oh, this shit is funny.
Who was it? They did a show in Queens and it was in the parking lot to a bunch of cars.
That was Michael Chabon.
No.
Oh, was somebody else?
No. That was at the diner.
Yeah.
It was at the Bel Air.
Oh, yes, at the Bel Air diner.
I can't remember who did it though.
I know. What's his name? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember it. It'll come to me. But he did a show where everybody sat in their car and you got on stage, and the way that they laughed, it was just a bunch of blinking lights.
Oh my God. That's
so it was the most awkward but fun show, because you actually had to push yourself to be like, you can't do crowd work. Mm-mm. You can't do anything. You just have to like push through the jokes. And you know, some people were just sitting there. They forgot to flash their lights, but you don't know if they're laughing.
Yeah.
But that bitch made people stronger.
It did make people stronger. It's interesting. I think about if you would have started, like if you would have kept on going for 2015 and the pandemic would have hit.
Yeah.
I feel bad for those comics, because those comics are like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
my whole career is down the drain. And then all these weird people performing in parks.
I think the pandemic opened up like 5,000 comedian brains. And we're like, we're going to start comedy. We're going to try this. Hey, you know, we're going to try this. And now there's like 100,000 comics.
We basically ruined our lives. Yeah. There are way too many. They need to leave. Please go away if you're a comic. Don't move here. Stop moving here from Denver, wherever you're from. I don't know. There's too many people. Anyway.
But it's interesting, though, that you call them. Can I just point this out? It's interesting that you called them crackheads. Because I have said that in the past, and people have come down on me with an iron fist. And
well,
they're
you
like,
can't say crackhead?
Yeah, you're not
Who
allowed
said
to.
That?
I don't know, like these.
You
like,
can say crackhead.
Like these very progressive, like, you know, they're the ones that are like, you can't call them crackheads. They're not crackheads. They're just emotionally unstable people.
No, but they are
people.
Crackheads. That's why
and
we
I'm
can't
like,
say crackhead.
If they got crack in their pockets, they're crackheads.
If you acting like a crackhead, use a crackhead. I'm sorry. Crackheads are like a staple of the city.
But I have to tell you, it's that younger generation.
I have no time for
that. That's very like, it's almost, they're so far. Listen, I'm left. I'm a staunch left Democrat. I always will be. But there is a point where you're like, y'all go way too far left.
I'm sorry.
Like, you can't change the terms that we've had in New York City for years.
I'm sorry. If you weren't around in the 90s, you understand crack. Crack was a thing. There's still a bunch of crackheads, 125th Street in Lexington, having a good time, you know?
Listen.
I love the good crackhead. Anyway, but we're not here to talk about crackheads. This is We're Done Here Pod, an emotional wellness comedy podcast. So we have to get deep and sensitive.
Oh, Lord.
We do. Sorry, Oscar.
Mika, I already had my therapy session today.
This is another one.
This is a double therapy.
For the sake of comedy. But you had a hard 2023.
Yeah.
I almost forgot what year it was.
I know.
But you had a hard 2020. I actually didn't see you for a little bit because you were outside all the time.
Yeah.
And then you disappeared a little bit, but not quite. And then it's like, Oscar's having a hard time. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I had a very rough 2023. So I went through 2 family deaths, a breakup, and then my neighbor passed away.
Oh, my God.
So it was a lot in 2023. And I tell you, you know, no one prepares you. And those were, like, I've lost family members, but these were very close family members.
Yeah.
And yeah, no one prepares you for that. No one prepares you for the onslaught of grief that you feel and the random days where you just are in such a great mood and then you hear a song or you see something or you smell something and you're like, damn.
No, I could definitely see what you're saying. So did everything kind of happen at once? And then how long were you with your boyfriend?
So my aunt had a stroke in 2022.
Oh, no.
So in the end of 2022, in September, she had a stroke. They put her into the hospital. She went into rehabilitation. It just wasn't getting better. And in 2023, a lot of where I was visiting her.
Got
and
it.
Taking care of that and traveling to Chicago and really like I think for all of 2023 I didn't really have a focus on progressing in comedy. I think it was just staying sane
and surviving.
No,
that makes sense.
And it's so funny that you say that because someone posted in like December, they were like, hey, a lot of people are going to be posting about their accomplishments this year. It's also an accomplishment if you just survive.
Yeah, no, just trust me, surviving is a bigger. Well, we've had a lot of comics like pass away, and like, you know, there's been, you know,
no, and that's the thing, and so in 2023, then she passed away in April. And so she was in Chicago and my mom lives in Norway. She flew over for the funeral. And I remember getting to, it was a Sunday, and I get into Chicago at like 6 o'clock. Was it Sunday or Saturday? It was Sunday. And get into Chicago like at around 6 o'clock, and then I get on the bus. I get the bus. My relatives pick me up, take me to the nursing home where my mother is, and that was at 9 o'clock. We sat there because we knew it was the end.
Yeah.
And then we left, and my mom was exhausted. And I was like, Mom, you're going to have a stroke if you don't leave.
Yeah.
And she was, you could just tell that her body, like, she was shutting down emotionally and physically. A lot of people, when they had that, when they're, you know. And so my mother would ask the nurse, you know, Do you think I should leave? Do you think, what do you think I should do? And the nurse says, have you told her it's okay? And my mom went over to my aunt and she told her it was okay to go and that she didn't have to. And my aunt was kind of far gone a little bit. She had, you know, it was like she was just kind of staring into the ceiling. I think she could hear it because I know that when the, what the nurses said is the last thing you can, the last thing that people lose is their hearing.
Got it.
And so she said her goodbyes, and then I was in the room with my aunt, and I said my goodbyes, and we walked out, and a half hour later, we got a call that she had passed away, and the nurse, when I was on the phone with the nurse, he was like, yeah, they usually wait. They usually wait. She waited for me to come and say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And she, and then she waited until we left, and then they, go.
Got it.
And so, you know, we had to plan the funeral and we had to do everything. And then my mom, after all that, my mom gets back to Norway and she takes my stepfather to the doctor the next day and they tell him that he has terminal cancer.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So literally the next day after she gets home, they told her. And so they were like, and they were like, yeah, the worst part is they could have prevented it. So the hospital was neglectful in diagnosing his cancer earlier on.
Wow.
And they misdiagnosed it as an ulcer versus a tumor.
Wow.
So then it was just then, you know, now you've got what you just live day to day. And it's a kind of just like a you don't really know what to do because you're watching your loved one and she was taking care of him. Slowly pass away. And then, so broke up with the boyfriend in September.
How long were you guys together?
We were together for 3 years.
Okay, yeah, it seemed like you were together for
He's a great guy. He's a wonderful guy, and we had a really fun relationship. I think we're just at different points in our lives. And that happens. I think he was more settled and kind of just looking to not really be with someone who's really like, I'm going and I'm not looking back. That's kind of what I need with me is that someone who's like, okay, I can kind of keep up. I think he had already been very successful and wanted to just enjoy like post success for him. And I remember, you know, I was like, listen, I'm not stopping. And he's like, yeah, but my ex-husband was that way. And I was like, yeah, but that was 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
This is a lot different time. Right. Do you have it in you? And, you know, we just agreed that we were not, I saw him the other day and we had a great conversation and, you know, there's still a lot of love there, but we just were not connected on a deeper futuristic level.
No, I can see that. Yeah, it's hard. That's hard.
Right. And then that happened in September. And then in October, my stepdad passed away.
Oh my God.
And then
how's your mother doing with all this?
Honestly, I am 100% shocked that she survived.
I'm happy that she did. Yeah, that's crazy. That is a lot. So how are you dealing with it? How are you here, Oscar? How are you still doing comp? What is going on? Like,
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's good. But you said you go to therapy.
You know, I go to therapy and I think that everybody handles grief in their own way, you know, and I don't think that they're necessarily gone. Their physical bodies are gone, but I also believe in energies.
Yes.
And I think that, like, I think that my aunt still comes to visit me.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people think that's crazy. I'm all for things happening. Like some people will say that's no, that no, but I mean you that's fine
no,
if you don't believe
it. I'm into energy. Yeah. I can, like, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
But so on Halloween was on a Wednesday. And I remember having a conversation with my therapist and I was like, you know, I miss my aunt and I wish she would come visit me because I would love to see her.
Yeah.
That night I carved a pumpkin in my apartment by myself mm-hmm. and it was a warm evening. Mm. And
Halloween was warm.
Yeah, the Halloween was a little warm.
Yeah.
And so I opened the window and this fly came in and just sat on the pumpkin for about an hour while I was carving it. And I was like, oh yeah, that's my aunt.
That's your aunt.
Do you want to know why? Because we both love to fly.
Oh.
And that's how we would communicate with each other. It's like we would like, she knew I loved to fly. I knew she loved to fly. We always loved to fly. And that was her way of saying, in my how I think, is that that's her way of saying, you know, hey, I'm here.
I love that.
Now, my mom had an interesting experience because she doesn't believe in that.
Okay, yeah.
But she was coming home one night from the neighbors. She had dinner. She lives on kind of like my mom lives on a, how do I put this? On a compound.
Okay, so in Norway, which
yeah,
is random.
Yeah, so she has like, it's like the main house and then there's some smaller houses around okay. that. In the woods. And so she then goes to like the neighbors for dinner because everybody knows each other.
Yeah.
And she's walking home one night and it's really cold. And I remember her telling me, she's like, as I'm walking, she was like, your aunt and your stepdad were there. One on this side and one on this side.
She doesn't believe in that.
But she didn't believe it. But she was like, one on this. She was like, my aunt was here and my stepdad was here. And she was like, there was a whole bunch of people behind me, but I have no idea who they were.
Wow.
And what's interesting is when my mom was flying from Norway to Chicago, I bought her a premium economy seat because I was like, you're not going to go say goodbye to your aunt and have to sit in the back of a plane for 10 hours. I was like, honey, we ain't doing that.
Yeah.
And like, I'm gay. I'm not getting you.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna have a little bit of, you know, enjoyment. So in premium economy on a lot of airlines, it's 2-3-2 is yes. the setup across.
Yeah.
And so she was in the middle. So it was her. The seat next to her was empty. And then it was someone else. But that seat was empty. And she said to me, she was like, you know what's so interesting is as I was on the plane, there were moments where when I would wake up and I turned to the person as if I was going to talk to them. She was like, I definitely wasn't alone. She was like, I wasn't alone on that flight.
I believe in all that stuff. I believe in like the afterlife. I don't like those spooky ghosts coming to get me though. But like, you know what I mean? If a loved one or something like that. That's so interesting. So, okay. So now it's 2024.
Yeah.
All this stuff happened last year. Are you still in survival mode or...
You know, it's interesting. Like I think like the holidays were probably the worst time for me.
I
hated the holidays. Yeah. They were just, I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I would, if I could, I would love to just get rid of Christmas.
Yeah.
But I think anybody that's going through grief and trauma and sadness, they don't want to be reminded of the holidays.
No, that makes
sense.
And it's,
you know, here's the thing. Like, you know, I know a lot of people in the comedy community. They were very much like, hey, do you want to come over for Christmas? And I was just like, you know, no, thank you. I'm actually, you know, I don't know if I want to be around anybody at this.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be around people.
I can see that. Yeah.
I didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to be around families. I didn't want to be around happy times. Not that I didn't want to enjoy that, but I just, that was like, it wasn't what I wanted at that moment.
Yeah.
So I just kind of was like, okay. And when you go through so much trauma, a lot of last year was always a anxiety ridden. It was like, how do I put this? It was always anxious.
Because
you're always in fight or flight. You're like, okay, well, now that we know that my aunt is passing away, now we gotta get that prepared. Then we have to prepare for the funeral. Now she passed away. Now we gotta do this. Mm. Now I gotta get her house ready to go. Mm. I had to fly to Chicago, pack up the rest of her house, wow, put everything into storage. Now my
stepdad. Did you do all this alone?
Yeah. And then wow, my stepdad's, you know, has terminal cancer. Now we have to prepare for that. How is that doing? So you're just constantly in this mind of what's next, what's next, what's next? What do we have to do? What's happening? When's the end? It's like you're slowly walking towards, unfortunately, a finish line. The finish line is obviously the death of someone. And then as you get there, you've now finished, you've crossed, and you're like, well, now what?
Yeah.
And so a lot of people, what I've noticed is that they go through post-traumatic stress.
I can see that.
Where you don't know how to be in the moment.
Yeah.
Because you're constantly in, like, you've been in fight or flight mode.
I can see that. Wow, that's so tough. And I feel like that feeling probably never goes away, really. Or
no,
like
it
goes
does.
Away eventually.
It does, because you get on with your, like, you know, for a year and a half, you don't know what normalcy is.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right? So for a year and 6 months, I forgot what normalcy is. And so now you're trying to cope not only with grief, but realizing that, oh, this is normal life now. Like, you wake up every day, you do what you do, and then you keep moving. There is no, okay, what do we have to do? What do we have to plan? Where do we, you know, what's happening?
It's like the new normal, though, without those particular people there. Well,
yeah, it's a new normal. And, you know, I say hello to my aunt every morning and good night. And, you know, before I go to bed, I always say, you know, good night to her. And I think she and I had a very close bond that I don't think I've had with any other relatives. We both have premonitions in common.
Got it. Oh, interesting.
Oh yeah. She was very psychic in that way.
Oh, I didn't know you were into that. I'm kind of into that, but not really. But
yeah,
like, you know,
she
what
was
mean?
Very much like. I remember there were times when so when I was supposed to go originally to Norway with my ex-boyfriend, we were going to go in July, and my aunt said, she's like, you know, I just have this horrible feeling. I have this horrible, horrible feeling. She's like, I cannot get rid of it. She's like, I can't sleep. I don't know what it is. I just have this horrible feeling. The day before we were supposed to travel, I take my passport out. It's expired.
Ah.
And she was like, yeah. She was like, that's it.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then as soon as I told her that, she was like, oh, yeah, now it's gone.
I'm a Cancer, so sometimes I don't know if it's the same thing, but sometimes I feel things. But yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, Oscar. So, like, is there anything you're looking forward to this year? Or, like, is there anything you're doing to, like, get your mind off things? Or, like, I don't know. Oh, maybe you don't have to do anything. But, like,
I think in this moment, you know, I think one of the things that a lot of people do is, well, I think one of the things that's helpful that my therapist told me is that always come back to me, right? Always come back to me, because I can't change how the world is going to happen, and I can't change everybody else, and I can't fixate or worry. But what I can do is I can just come back to me, knowing that I'm consistent.
Yeah, that's true.
The world and the universe will never be consistent. And it showed itself. It, like, laid its hands out this past year and was like, sorry, boo. The world is not going to be always
in your favor. Yeah, that's true.
And it was one of those things where you're like, well, damn. But at the end of the day, you always come back to you, because you do. That's the only person that's going to be consistent.
Yeah. It sounds like this experience has made you stronger.
Oh, girl. Hell yeah. If I can get through this bitch, I can get through fucking anything now.
No, that's true. I'm like, yeah, that's such a tough time. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Oscar.
I didn't gabble too much.
No. It sounds like your aunt was kind of like a mother figure to you.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
And then also your stepfather, and then you... And then now your mom having to deal with it's just a lot. And then you're such a light in the comedy community. So thank you for bringing us joy. But it also sounds like there's growth there as well, which is hard to do, honestly.
But I think also like people, when you can, you know, especially as a comic, I'm grateful because I'm able to take that and turn it into humor.
Most definitely.
Because a lot of people don't have an outlet.
Yes, yes.
Or if they do, they find like an outlet, like painting or something, to be able to push some of that grief out.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily I have comedy for that.
No, that's true. Thank God for comedy for helping us all.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
So not to abruptly change the subject, but we talked about your tough year. I guess we're kind of done with that. Is there anything you're not done with currently?
Oh, gosh. Oh, probably just my love handles.
Your love...
They are never going away. No
Same.
Matter how many planks, no matter how many sit-ups, no matter how much grilled fucking chicken I eat, oh, bitches ain't going away. No one fucking bit.
You know, there's always lipo.
Nah. Nah, I don't mind. You know, listen, it's fine.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. It's not like a booker was like, well, I can't have him on the show. He's got love handles.
Thank God we're comedians.
You know? I mean, thank God.
That's so funny. That's so funny. Okay, love handles. Yeah, I guess same. What am I not? Well, I'm done with. I'm done with Nicki Minaj because I've always hated her. Actually, and I'm so happy everyone.
Why do you hate her?
So I'm from Queens. She's from Queens. And like ever since I was younger, I could tell she was a mean girl. Like I could tell she was one of those mean girls from the school bus who was always on some bullshit. Was always starting shit. Uh-huh. And like I've always said this. I've stayed true to it. Me and my best friends are both from Queens. We've always believed this about Onika, right? And so it's weird. Her fans have always been crazy.
Who's Onika?
It's Nicki Minaj.
Oh,
Nicki
really?
Nicki Minaj's name is Onika.
Is it really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
See, here's the thing. I don't get invested into artists.
Okay, well.
I never did because you know what? What happens is, you're constantly disappointed.
No, that's true. Exactly. You're
and so,
disappointed.
Like, I'm like, no, the only people that I ever, the only celebrities that I ever got invested in were the Golden Girls.
I mean, those are great. Are half of them dead now?
All of them are dead, but okay, thank you for bringing that up.
Sorry.
I mean, it is the appropriate podcast.
Sorry,
but
we're done
Jesus.
Here. No, we're done.
But
no.
Those are the only, but yeah, like Cher, Madonna. I mean, yeah, great, but I'm not, like, people are, like, heavily invested in their lives, and oh, and they look at every move, and I'm like, girl, I ain't got time for that.
No, that's true. I don't have time for that, but I do like to rub it in people's faces when their fave is trash. So I understand.
But you know what, though? Let me tell you something. I hate to say this, but at one point in, I think, everybody's lives, they will be trash.
No, that's true.
They will be trash. Like, you know that someone is inevitably going to say something that offends someone that says something, and then it becomes this huge thing. But it's inevitable, I think. And I think it's just learning how to navigate that and say, okay, you know, it happened. But then people put too much investment in it. And I'm like, what are you, for what?
No, that's true.
I know Nicki Minaj as much as some of her music, and that's it. Like, I don't know a lot. I don't know. I didn't know she was from Queens. I didn't know Jennifer Lopez was from, I think, the Bronx.
Yeah, she's, Jenny from the Bronx.
Yeah, I didn't know that. For what? What am I going to use this knowledge for?
Anyway, for the rest of society that knows
what am I using this knowledge for?
Anyway, I told you, I'm just rubbing in my, I have some good friends who love Nicki Minaj, and I'm just saying this on this podcast. I told you your fave was trash. Anyway.
But what happened?
We do not have time for that.
Give me an elevator pitch about what happened, which
so
is technically 30 seconds.
I mean, she like had this whole rant this weekend because of some beef with Megan Thee Stallion, but she got on live and was obviously coked out and was obviously acting crazy, and she was yelling at regular people on TikTok. So like normal fans, she's like, like in their comment section calling them out, and like a bunch of her fans dox them. It's just like a whole, it's this crazy thing. People's families are being threatened on the name of Nicki Minaj, I swear. It's insane. Please Google
all
it.
This?
It's a lot going
for
on.
For what?
For no reason. But I guess we could be done here with that. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for
Oscar.
Having me.
Make sure, where can I guess follow you?
You can find me on Instagram, Oscar Aiden, AYDIN, and TikTok, AYDIN, Oscar Aiden. Also, follow me on YouTube. That would be great. And then I do have a new pod coming out, so make sure you stay tuned for that too.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Thank you so much, Oscar.
Thanks.
And thanks for watching. We're done here.